Please stand in body or in spirit. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together in Christ. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray.
us pray. O God of peace, you brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. By the blood of your eternal covenant, make us complete in everything good, and that we may do your will and work among all those that is well-pleasing in your sights. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
The first reading is from Acts, the 9th chapter. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him in the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then, calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 23 responsively with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He will make me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters.
He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.
The second reading is from Revelation, the 7th chapter. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, from all the tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
At the time the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem, I'm going to start that over. I think I missed a word. At the time the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem, it was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, then tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hands. The Father and I are one." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. Do you remember how these work? Knock, knock. Interrupting sheep.
Interrupting sheep.
Bah! Oh. Did you get it? You fell for it, didn't you? How long are you going to keep us in suspense? This is the question of the Jewish leaders in the temple. Tell us plainly, they say. Yeah, God, tell us plainly the plans you have for us. Sounds like something we might ask. I mean, we pray, we discern, we try to answer the call that you have placed on our hearts, God, as individuals, as communities of faith. We try to do the faithful thing, the thing you call us to. Oftentimes it's the same old thing, and we think it's faithful. We hope perhaps that it's faithful, but hey, we're trying. Come on, God, send us a sign. And yet doubt creeps in. Are we doing what we're called to do? And for many reasons, many good reasons, we ask these questions of ourselves, from empty pews to no more Sunday school classes to recent and painful memories of expending time and energy on once bountiful missions that just don't seem to be what they used to be. Tell us plainly, God. Tell us plainly what it is that you want us to do. Speak up. Come on. Speak clearly. Speak clearly, God. Why, oh why, do you allow us to languish? I mean, we speak clearly to you, God. We let it be known to you, God, what we want. Now make what we want be a part of what you want and then make it flourish. Please. That's the prayer, right? To these Jewish leaders who are gathered in the temple, Jesus makes it pretty clear. He says, I have told you that I am the Messiah, and yet you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name, they testify to me, and yet you do not believe. You do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. And I wonder, do we not hear because we do not belong to the sheep? Do we not believe? I hope not. I think we belong to the flock, don't we? I would say we certainly belong to the flock. But there's a problem with a flock of sheep. I have it on good account from some folks at St. Paul that raise sheep. One, that sheep are dumb. And two, sheep are really loud, especially a whole flock of sheep. So the problem with a flock of sheep is that, bah! Right? I wonder if we are just so busy baying up a storm that we are so busy interrupting the shepherd every time Jesus opens his mouth. To get a better bah than that. I don't know. It sounds kind of evil. Jesus can't get a word in edgewise. We so loudly bah at Jesus, tell him how to do the shepherd's job, demanding what we want, overwhelming his voice, that the voice that is meant to call and lead and guide cannot be heard. Because, after all, what would Jesus know about what we want? What would Jesus know about our faith community? You know what? I'll bet Jesus isn't even on our membership rolls. He couldn't even vote in an annual meeting. That was supposed to be a joke, man. If we continually interrupt Jesus with our incessant baying, I wonder, can we even hear Jesus when he calls us? My sheep hear my voice, says Jesus. I know them and they follow me. This is a promise that Jesus is making to us. If Jesus says that his sheep can hear his voice, the promise is that the sheep, that Jesus is speaking. That's the promise. And those who know Jesus will hear his voice and they will follow. They're not going to lead Jesus. They will follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. You know that song, right? Yeah. But have we? Anyway. What about the empty pews, though? What about Sunday school and those missions that are on life support? And you know what? In my personal life, I've been praying for guidance. And in my vocation, what am I being called to? What am I supposed to do next? You're keeping me, you're keeping all of us in suspense, Jesus. And you know what it sounds like after we all say it over and over and over again? Bah! 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 Is what all our worry and anxiety and fear, when we allow it to build up, that is what it sounds like. And when we all do that, when we don't allow ourselves to trust or believe that there is one who is going to hear us, carry us, and lead us, we can't hear him. because there is one who hears, leads, and carries us through those dark valleys and beside those still waters. When we pause and listen, my sheep, says Jesus, will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. That's what we hear. Jesus is speaking to a sheep that he knows. That sheep is us. That sheep is you, and it is me. Jesus knows us. In and through Jesus, we the sheep, we will not perish. Nothing will cause us to perish. No one or no thing will snatch us from Jesus' loving arms. If sin and death can't do it, then certainly empty pews and a lack of Sunday school and languishing mission programs will not succeed in doing so either. And there is comfort in knowing that even when we refuse to stop our incessant baying, when we cannot or refuse to listen for the voice of the Good Shepherd, Jesus will take it upon himself to gather us in his arms and say, if you won't listen, I will carry you where it is that I need you to go. Jesus will carry us to safety. Jesus will carry us to wherever it is that he needs us. So I think that we can take away all fear that Jesus is carrying us to a place of complacency, a place that says we are fine with empty pews and no Sunday school and dumping all our mission programs, because of course we're not fine with that. What I'll say instead is that we are an Easter people. What does it mean to be an Easter people, especially as we are here smack dab in the middle of our Easter season? What is it that we celebrate on Easter Sunday? Someone tell me if you're awake. The risen Lord. We celebrate the empty tomb, the risen Jesus. We celebrate death absolutely not having the last word. We celebrate new life emerging from the grave. So I ask, what would it look like for us as individuals, for us as faith communities, to faithfully walk from the place of Good Friday, death, to Easter, new life? What would that look like? First, as faithful Christians, we do not ignore death. We do not skip past Good Friday. We don't pretend that death isn't a thing. We don't pretend that there isn't pain associated with death. There is absolutely a great deal of pain associated with every death. As Christians, however, we do get to stare at death straight in the eyes as Jesus is holding us in his arms and say, death, you do not win. Death does not get the last word. What might it look like with Jesus shepherding us, leading us, carrying us, if need be, to faithfully walk from death to new life? What might it look like to faithfully grieve death, grieve what is no more, that job that we had such high hopes for, the friendship that has fallen away? I don't know, our healthy, ache-free bodies that are no more. Maybe real, actual death of a loved one. What might it look like to faithfully grieve what is no more? Full Sunday school classes and pews, that struggling mission program, that great ministry idea that just kind of fizzled out. What might it look like to faithfully grieve all these things and then ask, what new life is Jesus leading us to out of this death? And I'll tell you, I see new life emerging in this place. New life emerging from what was perhaps languishing. VBS, right? Vacation Bible School. This year, it's perhaps Bible Trail Family Adventure Day. Sounds exciting, right? I don't know, maybe. Stay tuned for more on this, though. There's a sense of new life emerging. What about our meal ministry? Anyone here that's been involved since its return from COVID? Let's be honest with ourselves, right? We know it's not what it used to be, right? We have tried this day, that day, this time, that time. We have signs now, two of them, right? Is this the death of First Lutheran's meal ministry? Or is Jesus leading us and carrying us somewhere new, somewhere unknown? Maybe, maybe not. It's scary. Death is scary. We had a discussion at our committee meeting on Thursday night. We have committee meetings every second Thursday if you want to join. They're really fun. We make good food. It's great. So we had a discussion at our committee meeting on Thursday, and you know what? When we talked about this, when we talked about the potential death of the normal way of doing meal ministry, we found hope. We found hope in thinking about the new life that might await for us or for that meal ministry. Nothing for certain, nothing decided, but we're listening. Again, stay tuned on to that one. We don't know where Jesus is calling, but we're listening. We don't know where Jesus might lead us and carry us, but there is a sense that maybe we are being called out, as in out there, to meet our community perhaps where they are. And is this a scary thing? Wouldn't we just rather be able to do what we used to do that always worked? Of course. Is death scary? Of course. But ours is a shepherd who defeated death. A shepherd who rose to new life. This is the shepherd who takes away our fear of this journey from death to life. Because he promises that no one will snatch you out of my hand. So I ask again, knock, knock.
Who's there?
The Good Shepherd. You had to ask? Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Come on. He is the one who carries us from death to new life, telling us that death isn't the end. And this, I can tell you, is no joke. This is the good news of the empty tomb. For Christ is risen.
Christ is risen
indeed.
Hallelujah.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you.
words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. And he is seated at the right hand.
As we pray today, we will be praying for the family and friends of Barb Keyes, who passed away early this morning. Please keep Barb's family and friends in your prayers. Are there additional prayers today? Let us pray. God of resurrection and new life, we come before you in prayer for the church, for the world, for all who are in need.
You guide your people to the water of life. Make your church a nourishing place for all who are thirsty for hope and healing. Renew us in the waters of baptism. Send us forth as witnesses to your love here in Gallia, Crawford County, and in the world that cries out for new life. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. You wipe the tears from every eye. Tend to all who struggle with anxiety, depression, loneliness, and despair. Enfold all who are in any need in your shepherding care, especially the family and friends of Barb Keyes. For Joyce and Betty, Chuck, Fred, Judy, Jean, David, Barb, Beth, Nancy, Krista, Dave, AJ, Caden and his family, Linda, Haley, Scott, Sandy, Ed, Tina, Bobby, and Jim, and for those that we name aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
This Mother's Day, bless mothers, grandmothers, all who offer mothering care. Come close to those whose relationships with their families are difficult, and console all who grieve the loss of mothers and mother figures, and the loss of children, and those who long to become mothers but struggle with infertility. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. We commend these and all our prayers to you, O God, trusting that you are always with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is and remains our Savior and Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace. We continue worship with our gifts and our offerings. Thank you.
Risen One, you have gathered us around your table of grace, along with these gifts we bring. Come again among us, breathe your life into us, and enliven us with this meal, that we may live as your risen body in the world. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give you thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, he gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hear the voice of the one who is calling us to this table. Gather here, eat, drink, and be restored.
This is the body of Christ broken for you.
broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Living one, in this feast you have made yourself known to us. Send us now to tell others of your wonders, sing your glory, and proclaim your risen life to a wounded and weary world.
Amen. Okay, announcements. Catechism! Yay. Abby didn't say a word. I thought she would for sure say yay. You know what? That's true. You know, yeah, yep. Anyway, it's going to be great. If you want pizza, hang out. Tuesday we will have our community meal at 12 p.m., so please feel free to come and gather with us for that. If you provided food for that, thank you. Friday is the men's breakfast at Lulu's. They're serious about the men's part. Like, a woman tried to show up once, and they just, like, right out of there. I'm just kidding. If you want to go, then go. Anyway, I am out this week for continuing education. This time not synod mandated. But I will be at a preaching conference in Atlanta. My kids are like, I didn't know. Well, now you know. So I will be out of the office for that. For any pastoral care emergencies, please contact, what's it say here, Dennis. Hey, Dennis, they're going to be contacting you, and he will put you into contact with a pastor. More information to follow. So it's Tansy Addison from Good Hope in Bucyrus. So let's see. Any other announcements this morning? Seeing and hearing none, please stand for a blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Go, tell this good news.